Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the financial guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, and chartered financial analyst John Thurr in studio for the Great Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And for those of you that have never heard us, we've been on the air here on WBEN from 1 to 3 every Saturday for about 18 years, so going on 20 years of being on the air in general through good markets and bad. I mean, there's no question. We've been through some really rough times in 2000 to 2003. We were on the air during that bear market. Obviously, 2008, 2009, we were on the air during that bear market. And we're not quite in a bear market, certainly in correction territory. But now the Dow, of course, up 80. It's actually up 78 points. But that's how it feels. It's been a yo-yo back and forth. And we're here to help to, you know, navigate you through it. So if you want to join us, 803-0930 and star 930.
Can I, before we hit John here in Williamsville, and hop on board, folks, we're out of here at 12 o'clock. So 803-0930, star 930, 3930 if you want to text, 3930. My company matches up to 6% in 401k, so I'm putting in all 6%. Good for you.
Good.
As I'm only 28, my question is that they let you choose your own stock categories and bond categories. What is the mix I should have? Now, I'm going to also, let's see, there's another question here that says I have $40,000 from the sale of my parents' house, and I want to invest it. And the reason I commingled those two questions together, because I'm going to give you the same answer, which is there is no cookie cutter plan for everybody. And I think, you know, a lot of financial planners will even do this. Oh, you're 28 years old. Well, you should have this. You need to understand your own tolerance for risk. You know, Vanguard is one of the biggest companies in the world. And they did a study a bunch of years ago, which actually blew my mind. It said their average investor only has earned 2% a year over their history with Vanguard. Now, when you look at their investment options, they've earned a lot more than that. You say, well, how could they only earn 2%? It's because they're not doing the homework. They invest money, and then the market goes down, they panic, and they get out, right? Or, of course, the market goes up, and now they're all happy, and they want to invest. They're doing the wrong things at the wrong times. I don't care if you're 28, 58, 188. You have to go through a risk tolerance to try to determine your stomach for these types of fluctuations, because you don't want to invest $40,000 and then say, oh, you know, it's down 2, 3%, 5%, and I'm out, and then you miss the next rally up, right? So you got to do the homework. You got to go through a risk tolerance. You got to put together a game plan to say, here's what I'm investing the money for, right? You could be 28, 48, 88, but if you're going to use that money in 6 months, we would tell you, hey, don't put it in stocks, right? There's a chance it might be down. But if you say, you know, I don't think I'm going to use it for 5, 10 years. All right, well, now we can, you know, start to put together a plan. How would you feel, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, if your 40 went to 38? Nah, I wouldn't worry about it. I would worry about it. You know, that changes it, because that 28-year-old, the easy answer is, well, you're 28 and you can invest in stocks and you know, you've got, you know, 30 years before you're going to use it. Yes. But if you're going to be up at night, not worth it.
Here's a good story. I know there's a friend of mine who, you know, has built a nice size nest egg, nice wealth, you know, portfolio. And I saw him a few weeks ago and he said to me, John, one of the best things I ever did was in the 08, 09 crash. I put a bunch of money in.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that is why I have what I have now. I had the guts to go in. He goes, I bought good companies. I thought I was relatively conservative. I hate that word. But he did his homework. And he bought what he felt comfortable with, and he just sat with it.
Right.
And he goes, that's why I have what I have.
Yeah.
You know. And I think that's what people miss, is to take $40,000 and just throw it in the market. You have to have a lot of patience, because there's no money coming after it. But maybe you put 20 in, and you keep 20 in a fixed income short-term portfolio, and then maybe the market does take that 20% dip 3 years from now. Take that other half and put it in.
Yeah.
And now you don't feel bad the market dropped. You feel like I feel. Great, the market dropped. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I got cash.
That's right.
I'm going in.
That's right.
You know, and you got to have that attitude.
Yep.
Always keep some powder dry, right?
That's what
they say. All right. 803-0930, star 930 if you want to join us. You want to pick up John here?
Yeah, let's go to John in Williamsville. John, how are you, sir?
Good. Hey, I don't know about you guys. I can tell that your analysis could be, because you sit there and you're kind of alienating potentially some of your customers, but you're honest. And, you know, if you're honest to yourself and you're handling money, I hope you guys are very successful.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Oh, listen, I love the way you guys are honest. We
do that on purpose. We do alienate a group of people who don't think like us, John. It's not to be mean. It's just that we want to be happy in life. And we realized a long time ago that Monday through Friday, dealing with liberals who are really clueless is very aggravating. So we just don't want to do it.
Well, Yeah, so
it's believe it or not, it's very selfish of us.
You're the worst customers in the world.
It's very selfish of us. We just don't want to deal with it.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, buddy.
Lowest prices. Well, anyway, do you guys know anything about these SDRs? You know, I'm a guy, and I just, I'll tell you where I come from. I'm a guy who, I'm not an economist, but I know math. You know, some figure that the U.S. is in hock right now for $100 trillion-plus dollars in unfunded things, Medicare, social, and everything, all these things that they really don't have a way to do it, but all they've been doing is printing money. Now, I'm saying, well, we're so prone to sensitivity to interest rate fluctuations that, well, why doesn't this happen, you know? Well, the U.S. dollar was the only game in town. We'd print, they'd buy. But these SDRs are apparently some part of a blockchain thing where they're going to actually go away from the USD as a way to do this, whereby lowering the demand for the U.S. dollar and kind of having interest rates go up in order to create the demand. I don't know if this is making sense to you, but they made a big – I read this thing because individual things catch my eye once in a while.
Okay.
Showed this SDR.
Yeah, it's an international reserve asset.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what they did was they did a successful one a month or two ago. It made little news and everything, but it made a headline news that it was done. And it was a way for them to kind of wean themselves from the U.S. dollar. And I'm thinking, personally, that this might be on an accelerated path, because no one likes Trump. Trump's not one of these globalists. These globalists want to run everything.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do these cross-border things. You know, and these,
yep.
You know, you cannot have a United States work with people who are not free. So I'm just, does this make any sense to you guys?
Well, the dollar is sorry, Glenn. The dollar is the most powerful currency. Okay, because there's so much of it, and we have the largest economy, and China's catching, but we have the largest economy. So back in the day when we had Bretton Woods and everything went on with the oil embargo in the 70s, the U.S. agreed to lift the embargo, but what we had was an agreement that the oil would be priced in dollars. So most commodities, including oil, one of the largest traded commodities, priced in dollars. So what you've got is you've got a dollar-controlled world. And there's a lot of money moving around with a lot of business. And I think it makes other countries uncomfortable.
Right. You know, I mean, if I owe you $5 million, you owe me. If, the saying, if you owe me if I owe you $1 billion, I own you.
Yeah,
and I don't think people like to have that gun to their head anymore, and I just don't think Trump's that popular. And it is a way to knock down the economy if you weaken the dollar.
That's hard to do because, like the U.S. dollar, if we're controlling a lot now, and if we want to control a currency, like I still say in Europe, the only reason that the euro is where it is and the dollar's not stronger is the U.S. is in with our dollars buying euros. So it doesn't get out of whack. And this is what people don't understand. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't know about. Manipulation by countries. And we are the largest country, and we have the most dollars out there. So I hate to say it, but we're probably manipulating a lot of currency. And this is what people don't like. And we have a lot of debt out there, and we can leverage because we have the largest economy, and we have a lot of dollars.
Yeah.
So we do have a lot of control.
Hey, John, thanks for the call. I think
yeah,
it's really important, too, to recognize when you're talking about debt, and I hear, the debt and the stock market, and they can be two different things, right? You're talking about government debt, which we need to get our arms around. The Republicans are clueless. Democrats are clueless double, right, two times. But when you look at the balance sheets of corporate America and even households today, we talked about the real estate market before, I keep hearing, America's broke. Well, America's not broke. The government's broke.
But I'll tell you what,
corporate America's balance sheets look great, and a lot of personal balance sheets look great. I mean, there's more homes paid off today as a percentage of home ownership than ever before. So that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean everybody's broke, right? Got to find the positive and the negative and sort through all that garbage to put together a quality portfolio.
And you have to put the debt in context. You have to look at it relative to something. And what we like to look at is relative to the country's GDP growth, and you have to or transactions, growth, gross domestic product.
We just got to teach those Republicans that it is good to grow. It's just not good to spend more than we grow.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. And, you know, when you look at, I mean, the sad thing is with the Republicans and all the politicians is that they just seem to no longer have a feeling that the private sector is the place to put, you know, have investment and have the growth, not the government. And they seem to have this idea that, you know, they can get involved in things and fix things and make them fair, and their big government problem is better. And when you look at every single aspect where the government has gotten involved, health care, what's happened, prices through the roof. College tuition. Remember, during with Obamacare, they took over college funding, basically, the college loan game.
Yep.
What's happened to college tuition?
Guaranteed loans, right?
No, yeah, what's happened to college tuition in the last 10 years?
It's exploded.
It's exploded, right?
That's right, because
Every single thing that the government gets involved in takes the prices of that thing, whatever it is, and it skyrockets it because there's no accountability. And this is why, as a conservative, we're always banging the drum of smaller government. Get government out of the way of private business. Get them out of the college game.
Well,
get them out of the healthcare game. Get them out of the way
and
make it smaller. And these Republicans, including our own local ones right here, have completely and totally forgotten about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
think about Pelosi, right? Armageddon, because you're getting your own money back. Armageddon. That's the world was going to end because people were going to get their own money back. How sad is that? I know we're late in the break.
We got to go to break. All right, you want to join us, 803-0930, *930 is a free call to sell, and 1-800-616-9236. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at FinGuys, and you can like us on Facebook. You can also check out our website at thefinancialguys.com. We post a lot of the articles and things that we look at and watch and read throughout the week up on that website. So check it out at thefinancialguys.com. And if you haven't heard our show on Saturdays, you can tune in 1 to 3 every Saturday afternoon right here on WBEN for the Financial Guys radio program. And again, thank you to Sandy Beach and Tim Wenger for allowing us to fill in. We've got 45 or so minutes to go left here. Very short break. We'll come back with your calls and questions here on News Radio 930 WBE. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, and John Thurr, Chartered Financial Analyst, in studio here, and filling in for the great, great Sandy Beach, three-time Hall of Fame great Sandy Beach.
The greatest.
Here on News Radio 930.
The greatest of great. That guy's hammered by now. He's hammered.
He's not even. He's passed. He's face down on the couch for sure.
He's gonna need a nap.
And just as a housekeeping note, the global warming conference this week in Western New York is on hold just because there might be too much snow. So we'll keep you posted as to the status of that global warming conference.
And last I checked, that naval ship is still locked in ice in Montreal somewhere. Right?
Yeah,
so much for the christening in December. I'm not sure who thought that was a great idea.
They were gonna the global warming buddies. They were all gonna have a cocktail party on it.
These
and
poor
it's
guys.
Absolutely frozen.
Think about the guys on the ship, right? There's like 100 and something guys on this ship. They're like, yeah, we got to go to Buffalo, but don't worry, guys, we'll be down in Florida. It's like an 8-day sail. Yeah. Now they've been like 2 months. They've been locked in ice and like.
There was one in Upper Florida 2 or 3 years ago, and it actually they canceled it because it snowed. Yeah.
They actually had to ship these guys warm clothes.
Right.
Seriously. They had to actually, the military had to send them warmer clothes because they were going to be there a while, is what they said. So these poor guys thought, they showed up in shorts and t-shirts going, I'll be drinking margaritas on the beach in no time.
Yep.
Global warming. Fast and furious. That's for sure. All right.
Well, it's working this. It's certainly working this winter. I mean, we did have that one day, like 45 degrees.
Yep. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
All right. 803-0930 if you want to join us again. *930 is a free call and a sell. We've been talking, obviously, the markets are all over the board. Now they're down again. They were up throughout the break. They'll be up by the end of this segment, I'm sure, or the other direction, whatever. We're also talking about some of the wasteful spending. And here's one for you. High-speed train. Going nowhere fast. $3.1 billion so far spent in California. It's been 6 years since they awarded billions of dollars for the California high-speed passenger train. And guess what? Not a single track has yet been laid, right? So the bullet train promised to make the 520-mile trip from San Francisco to Los Angeles in less than 3 hours by traveling over 200 miles an hour. With a price tag of nearly $100 billion. So this is how government works, right? The original plan that they laid out was $64 billion with passenger service beginning by 2020, right? Now the amount is $98
billion. Mm-hmm.
They haven't laid a single track yet 6 years later, and the departure time for passengers was delayed now to 2033. By the time they actually get this thing built,
we'll have flying
cars.
There'll be a new technology.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be
a quarter of $1 trillion for 500 feet or 500 miles of track or whatever it is, and it'll be obsolete. We'll have flying cars or some other sort of mode of transportation.
Yep.
This is how government works. This is why they should say, you know what? We're taking bids from private companies to build this here. Here's the deadlines. Here's the penalties for not having it done. But when you get the government involved, it's like it's like the fence joke, right? It's let's, you know, who's the most connected? Who's the, most of the time the most connected are also the most incompetent,
yeah.
Right? You look at the Obamacare website. Well, it was Michelle Obama's good friend from college. Guess what? $800 million later.
That's right.
Right? We have $1 billion website that
didn't work.
That doesn't even work.
We could have put it together in our office for $5,000. Here's two more before we go back to the phones. $113,000 for video games. The International Center for the History of Electronic Games got the money to conduct a detailed conservation survey of video games. Better yet, $484,000 for pizza. A private developer was given federal grant money to build Mellow Mushroom Pizza Bakers in Texas. The outlet is known for its tongue-in-cheek references to drug and hippie culture. How do we get $484 billion? You know,
that's
how
right.
Or $484,000? This is for a pizzeria with no proven track record. At least we have a successful financial firm that's been here 20 years. How do I get half $1 million bucks to?
We got
to
have a solar panel division or something
to run a study.
Yeah, to run a study. 113.
Let's run a study.
They cannot find anywhere to cut.
They can't do it.
By the way, before we'll go back to the phones here, we do have a number of different divisions at the Financial Guys. One of them is Medicare. If you're turning 65, we have independent Medicare reps that can help. Don't wait until you're 65. When you're 64, pop into our office. We also have an independent health insurance division run by April Hartloff. So if you're a small, medium, or large company and you don't think you're getting the service with your health insurance, you don't think somebody's shopping to get you the best rate, use April as a resource, 633-1515. And, of course, retirement planning with some of the smartest people in the room. In the world, which John, and we said that in the beginning. We think you're one of the brightest people. That's why you're on our team. I think you know Glenn and Mike are number two and three, but you're number one. That's why we have
That's
you
right.
here. Appreciate
Absolutely.
The help today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Do appreciate it. 803-0930 on *930. By the way, we'll go back to the phones here in just a second. But before I do, I want to mention also you can check out our Facebook page. We do a lot of videos and things like that on there. Also follow us on Twitter at FinGuys. Why don't we go to the phones and welcome Ernie in Kenmore. Ernie, you're live on the Sandy Beach Show on WBEN. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're great, Terrific. Ernie.
Good. Hey, I've got a stock tax question.
Okay.
In 76, I acquired 162 shares of Textron from my father when he passed away. Now I have about 2,200 shares that I've had dividend reinvestments, and I've bought some shares now and then.
Okay.
And I'm tired of it. I wanna get out. I'm sure I've made some money.
Okay.
And I'm interested in the tax if I sell this thing.
Okay. So the shares you inherited, Ernie, the cost basis is the day you inherited those shares. So whatever the stock price was on that day, that's your cost basis.
But any additional stuff will add that you bought will add to that basis.
That's
any money you've put in.
Which includes the dividend reinvestments, by the way.
Yes. So all the dividends, because you've already paid taxes on those dividends, you can add back in.
But how do I even – I don't even know if I have records of –
Well, and that's where the fun begins.
Well, the custodian should have a record.
Yeah, maybe
right?
not.
No,
hold with us, Ernie. That's good.
Yeah,
that is where, as Glenn said, where the fun begins.
Yes. All right, stick with us. 803-0930 *930 if you want to join us. And if you need us throughout the week, folks, 633-1515. Very short break. We'll be right back here for the final half hour. They got the Financial Guys and John Thur in for the great, great Sandy Beach News Radio 930 WBE. Back. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, in for the great Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We've also got John Thur in studio, Chartered Financial Analyst, and we're taking your calls and questions here, 803-0930 and *930. We've been talking about the stock market all over the board, obviously a tough couple of weeks. We're also talking about the federal budget and what they just passed this morning, the monstrosity of federal spending and bureaucracy that it is. And before those of you that send me an email throughout the week or send us a message that says, but guys, how dare you Financial Guys, part of the increase in spending was for, you know, drug abuse and opioids.
Right.
Let me just say this. Let me suggest that maybe we look for other places to take the money.
That's
like this place, for example. We took last year $230,000 from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Okay, we took that out of their budget. And guess what we spent it on? We spent it on seeing if the color red makes monkeys more randy. That's what we spent it on.
No, we
honest
did
to God.
Not.
Yes, we did.
This one, hey,
yes,
listen,
we
listen,
did.
$702,000 to bring television to Vietnamese villages.
There you go.
There you go.
That'll help the opioid crisis. Yeah. But this was actually
$20 trillion in debt, and we're spending $702,000 to bring television to Vietnamese villages. What is it? What? I'd like to know what shows we brought them. That's what.
Yeah.
I'd...
Well, but this is coming directly out of the National Institute on Drug Abuse.
Total joke.
So maybe instead of using that for finding out if the color red, you know, has an impact on monkey's sexual behavior, maybe we could talk about, you know, spending that money on the opioid problem.
My
maybe better not. We can build a wall in the southern border that will stop some of the opioids from coming into the country.
Remember, Mr. Kennedy doesn't want a wall. Oh, wait, he's got one in front of his house. Oh, yeah, forgot about that. Forgot
and
about
so
that. As he
Paul
was
Ryan.
Drooling the other night, telling me how, That's telling right. us how unsympathetic we are to want to build a wall. He's got an 8-foot wall in the front of his house.
I did do a free study that no one has to spend any money on. Uh-oh. I am a fan.
Wait, get ready to make sure we have a delay on
this. I am a fan of red lingerie, let me tell you. New York State, you don't have to pay me any money to tell you that.
Well, you
does it fit well?
Get money for that. That's
does
the
it
funny
fit
part.
Well?
I like it if it fits well, yes.
Well. Well, here's one for you. They spent, talking about drool, they spent $817,000 on drooling monkeys and the evolution of saliva. I kid you not. Look, you can't make this stuff up. Maybe Joe Kennedy should be a part of that study, too. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. All right. Let's go back to Ernie, who's been patiently waiting over the break. So Ernie bought some stock back, or inherited stock back in 1976.
Yes.
And Textron stock. And over the years, he continued to add dividend, you know, and reinvest the dividends. He bought more along the way. And now he's ready to move on. And the question is, how in the world do we figure out the cost basis? And it is, you know, it's nothing more than just kind of going back with a pencil and paper and trying to figure out those dividends.
Got to do your best, Ernie. And I'll tell you, it's not going to be easy. And you just try to do your best.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Textron spun a business out, too.
Yeah.
So that makes it even more difficult because some of your cost basis is going to go with that.
Let me say this, though. If you have a solid methodology for how you went about obtaining that cost basis, then you will be totally fine, even if you are not correct. I have never, knock on wood, I have never seen the IRS, in my 20 years of experience, go after somebody and for cost basis, saying your cost basis is wrong.
They don't want you cheating them. They want you to do your best, but they understand that, you know, years ago there just wasn't the records that there is today. So
right. So do your best. Have a methodology for that. And if you do that, then you'll be totally fine.
Ernie, if you want to call our office, 633-1515, ask for me, Mike Lomas, and I'll try to do my best to at least point you in the right direction, okay?
That's what I'm looking for, Mike. Don't know where to go with this. I'm 71 and retired and...
Call us at the office. We'd be happy to help you out. There's some tools online we can use, like, you know, Yahoo History, Finance History, and things like that. Some of it is just going to be just forensic accounting to the best of our ability. But
let me
say
the disclosure, I'm not a tax advisor, but at least I can point you in the right direction to get you going. All right, Ernie?
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, buddy.
You got it. 633-1515. You want to join us here on the air, about 20 minutes left in today's show, 803-0930-930 is a free call and a cell, and 1-800-616-9236.
So you got to hear this text. I'm going to apply for $1 million grant to perform a study on government waste. Chris.
I bet you you'll get it.
I bet you'll get it.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
If you get it, let us know. I bet you probably
it'll
will.
Go nowhere, Chris. But look, let me tell you something. Here's what the liberals do. The professor's got this down. You're going to take 20% as a salary out of the $1 million grant to perform the study, right? And then you're going to find out all the waste, and you're going to do nothing with it. You just shred it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Create more waste. It's the perfect scenario.
Yeah, that way, just shred the results, and then you come back 4 or 5 years later, and you do the study all over again.
That's right.
Actually, you can compare today to 5 years from now, and just let the games begin.
Exactly. All right, let's go back to the phone. I want to 303-930 and star 930. If you
I want to apply for the study. We should seriously do this on how many birds were killed from windmills last year. I know they've done that, but I think if we apply for the grant and, you know, we oversee it, then we can get a nice salary out of that, right?
Yeah, I would think.
I would think. Let's go to Denny. You want to go to Denny in Florida? Our buddy Denny?
Sure.
Did you know Denny's on the line?
I did not know Denny's on the
line. I'm assuming this is Denny. He's a friend of ours. I only know one Denny in Florida. Denny Artachi, Mr. Sir?
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
Great. Listening to the show. So one of the reasons I'm calling in, I'm just really curious.
Denny, can you do us a huge favor? Can you tell people your background?
Uh-huh.
I think you were part of the winning the Cold War, from what we found out earlier. Rock and roll was a big part of why we won the Cold War, we heard.
Yeah.
Before the Cold War was over, so I think maybe that point of view may not be valid.
Denny, tell our listeners your background. Denny's a good friend of ours in Florida. He's a financial planner right out of our Jupiter, Florida office, but maybe you can give everybody a little bit of your history, if you don't mind.
Well, before I got licensed in the mid-90s, I was the lead singer, lead guitar player for Iron Butterfly for a brief stint, and I played with a lot of old hippie bands. My best friend in L.A. was Joe Shermy from Three Dog Night. So it was fun. I mean, I had long hair. I was skinny. I was actually bad-looking back then. You know?
Denny, I was originally going to be a rock star, but, you know, the autographs and, you know.
It was just too much.
It was going to be too much for me, so I decided to just settle in as a financial planner.
I don't know what's more exciting.
Sorry, we didn't mean to cut you off, but Denny's a good friend of ours, pretty cool background, and we got to get you up here to Buffalo to play for us. You still plays for fun on the weekends, right? And
mm-hmm. Play tonight.
Yeah, in fact, I'm telling Glenn to come tomorrow. I'm playing in Fort Lauderdale with my one of my rock bands, and hopefully he'll show up.
We'll see.
Well, I have to. Next time I'm down at the office, I have to sneak out and catch you. So I promise I will.
Good.
We got to get you up to Buffalo here. As soon as the global warming ends, which is usually about July 1st, 2nd, somewhere in there, we'll get you up to play here.
Okay. Be careful what you wish for, because it just might happen.
Yeah. Perfect. No, I would love it. So sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
The biggest thing is Iron Butterfly is actually playing tomorrow in Titusville, Florida, and I talked to Mike Green. And we're both upset that I can't make the show, but they're supposed to play, I think, in another couple of weeks. And then I'll go see the band, go backstage and kind of hang out and have fun.
Is Doug Engels still alive?
Yes, he is. He stopped performing with the band years ago. The founding member was him and Ron Bushy played on all the albums.
Right.
And Ron has taken some time off because he was dealing with cancer. Sweet guy. I mean, geez, I feel so honored and blessed that I played with such an iconic band for, you know, a short period of time, and we're still friends. And who knows, Glenn, if you're in town and they're playing in 2 weeks, let's go take a ride and see them. And
love to. I would love to, for sure.
Since I'm calling in, I'm so funny. I want to know who's officially more angry, John or Glenn, that we came in second place in the Treasure.
Yes.
So let me just set the context here. We were all at a breakout in San Diego, and we had a little bit of a fun one day. We set up a scavenger hunt, and Glenn was awful competitive. So
Glenn and I were on the same team. I don't know. It was all done by a draw, but we ended up on the same team.
Poor Tom in our office, who had not run in a few years. They forced him to run, and I was quite impressed. I mean, you know. I mean, it's not like you two are Olympic athletes. Not well. You actually
John's
play
in
hockey
good shape.
Quite a bit.
I ran. I tell you what, I learned that I'm a lot better shape than I thought. Number one, which is good news.
Speed walker in the world.
Yep.
So my team, we didn't take it that serious. I actually stopped for coffee at Starbucks and hung out, and I think we still got third place out of 18.
Well, my daughter and I were talking. She's in college. She's 22, and. It came up, and she goes, "Well, Daddy, you walk so fast." You know,
yeah. It speed wasn't racer. About the speed; it was about the team approach and the one of us wanted to be a hero. That was the problem. That's a whole other show in of itself. So maybe we'll talk about that. Needless to say,
Tom in our office, who's an estate planning / financial planner, so if you need a healthcare proxy, will whatever, use Tom. But needless to say, he will never ever partner up with Glenn in a breakout ever again. So
he said he figured out what the problem was. He said he had the flu the next Sunday or Saturday on the flight home the next day.
Yeah.
I said, I think all that exercise gave you the anxiety of the flu.
It'll catch up to you.
Judgment.
Yeah. By the way, Mr. Artachi is out of our Palm Beach office, Jupiter, Florida office. So if you are a snowbird and you'd like help, we can work as a team, and that is what we do. And so use our Buffalo office to set up an appointment with Denny, 633-1515, right in the heart of Jupiter, Florida. Denny, we'll give you the final word here before the break.
Well, I'm happy to hear that he still has a job, because he is good at estate.
right. Oh, we never did that. That's your fault, Beamer. Don't blame me.
Wiggle, so piping mad. I'm so happy that he's still on the team. My God, you still are the smartest guy in the room, because while he was out getting a map, you figured everything out just walking and shooting from the hip. And if he didn't cost us 10 minutes, we would have won.
So, hey, I got to tell you, I made it to that square first. I was the first one to the square, but we had to have all four team members there.
Yeah. That's right. We were close, but no cigar. Second doesn't cut it. We were the first losers.
That's right. You four and the paramedics showed up right behind you.
I really thought we were going to have to get the paddles out. I really thought that. You know, I'm looking at John going, okay, with Denny, do you know CPR? Like, which one of us is gonna revive
Tom? I told Denny he was going to have to carry him.
Poor Tom. He's like, I thought this was fun. This was supposed to be fun. We were supposed to be drinking Bloody Marys this morning.
Not
running.
Not if there's competition.
All right, Denny.
Thanks for the call, Denny. Appreciate it,
buddy.
Have a great one.
All right, take
care, we got to take a very short break.
All right, no, we've got it. Beamer, can you do this?
Yes.
We're going to get in all kinds of trouble for this, and I blame you.
Not anymore, because I'm doing it at prime time. Okay. Today's deal of the day for My Buffalo Perks is a one-night stay, Sunday through Thursday, at Ramada Falls U for just $69, a $580 value. Plan a fun overnight for the whole family, or just the two of you, at the Ramada Falls U. For details, go to MyBuffaloPerks.com.
Yeah, and Beamer will not be there in his red lingerie, so don't worry.
Perfect.
That's a great deal, by the way.
That is a good deal, no doubt. All right, now we will take a very short break. We'll come back and try to wrap up your calls and questions here. You got the financial guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, and John Thur in for the great Sandy Beach. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You've got the financial guys filling in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Just a couple minutes left in today's show. We will try to roll through the phones as quickly as we can and try to get everybody on if possible. If you need us throughout the week, folks, if you didn't get your question answered or if you're concerned about the markets, feel free to give us a call at the office, 633-1515. Also, please follow us on Facebook. Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys or check out our website at TheFinancialGuys.com. Let's try to sneak as many as we can in here. Let's go right back to the phones and welcome. How about Mike in Wheatfield? Mike, you're live on the WBEN on Sandy Beach. How are you?
Mike, how are you?
No, Mike. Let's go to Chris.
Control. There you go. Chris, how are you? Mike, call back, please. I knocked you off. I'm so sorry. We'll get you right up. Ooh, what is going on here?
Easy way to clear the phone lines. Want to try Bob?
Knock him in the control room.
Chris in Niagara Falls. How are you, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can we help?
I have a 529 for my son, and we put money in it for years.
Okay.
Got some money in there, and they will not transfer. He decided not to go to college.
Okay.
So now what do I do with all that money? It's pre-tax.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have any other kids?
Any other kids? Because you can exchange it to another child.
They said I couldn't.
No, you can. You can change
absolutely.
The beneficiary. Yeah, you can change. You're the owner. It's your money, right? It's got to be for the benefit of a college for the beneficiary, which was your son. But if you have other children, you can change the beneficiary to those children in your household and still use it for college.
Chris, call Jeff Boron in our office, 633-1515. He's a certified college planning expert, and he can help you. Jeff Boron.
His name?
His name is Jeff Boron, B-O-R-O-N, and he's a certified financial college planning expert. Something along those lines.
you absolutely can change.
You absolutely can, and he can point
you in the
right
direction. You can even change it back to yourself and go for a continuing education or something like that as well. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Problem with those 529 plans, by the way. Again, Chris, 633-1515. Use this as a resource, okay? Mike and Wheatfield, please call back. I feel terrible. I hit the wrong button and smacked you off, and you were waiting for 12 minutes. So, again,
803-0930.
Real quickly, though, we do have different departments. One of them is college planning, and it's really important to, you know, specialize. We specialize. We have experts in different areas. John Thur in studio with us, chartered financial analyst. But we have certified financial planners. We have a certified financial divorce analyst. We have Social Security experts, certified Social Security claiming strategist. We have a healthcare expert. So if you don't know where your healthcare is going to come from in retirement, use them as a resource. And Medicare, independent Medicare reps. Again, 633-1515. If you're turning 65, if you're 64 now, use them as a resource. It's a free consultation. I'm telling you, you're going to drive all around town. It's going to it won't save you a penny. Use our independent folks to help guide you in the right direction. Again, 633-1515. What do you think, Glenn? Bob?
Before we go back to the phone, just real quick, one more wasteful spending thing here, right? The flying monkey. We spent $206,000 creating a robotic monkey puppet called the High Altitude Monkey, or HAM, made out of softwood and servos that they're going to put up in a hot air balloon, basically. And I mean, does it really matter what it looks like? I mean, just the
what is the purpose of that? What's the purpose of that?
Just apparently to build a robotic monkey and send them up into space. I don't know.
How much did that cost us?
Just only a quarter million. That's But they are spending an extra $200,000 flying missions with the robotic monkey.
Yeah, because that $500,000 couldn't have paved my road that looks like an Amish village, right?
That's right. No. So here's what it can do. It can wave. It can give a thumbs up or thumbs down. It can press a button or touch its heart.
So it's a liberal. Cool.
It's a liberal. That's right. Exactly. All right. Back to Bob quickly if we can sneak him in.
Bob, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good.
Very good.
The points that I'd like to make are brief and straightforward. This includes local, state, and federal. First of all, I feel that everything, as far as money being paid in by our taxes, should be line itemized to what it's going to be used for.
Agreed.
Yes.
Full disclosure, a little transparency.
It should not be transferred from one thing to another unless there is a national emergency or a state emergency, and then that money should be transferred on a percentage basis from each of the things that it's paid into originally so that we can follow the money.
Mm.
There should be an accountability. Not one journalist has asked Governor Cuomo in the state of New York where he's getting this money that he's handing out.
Well, that's because Cuomo doesn't have the stones to actually answer questions in front
of
people.
Well, that and they're all on Cuomo's payroll half of them, so.
Oh, Bob, no, I am so sorry, but you are spot on. If you can call our show tomorrow, you will be the first up on deck. 1 o'clock, 1 to 3, Financial Guys.
Yep, absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks again to Tim Wanger. Thanks again to Tony Calagiri. Thanks to Joe Beamer. And
John
Thur. Sandy Beach.
John
Thur as well for allowing us to fill in.
The great Sandy Beach, by the way.
The great Sandy Beach. 633-1515. Tune in tomorrow, 1 o'clock, right back here on WBEN. That'll do it for us. On behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle. We'll see you tomorrow.